Hello, everybody. We are on track with our second episode, All Things Modernism Week. And I was so excited I got to interview the founder of Modernism Show with Lisa Krieger. We are going to dig into why is this show so important, why you want to be at the party tomorrow night. And that is correct. It is Friday night is the VIP party. And then it runs Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And it is an amazing show that you don't want to miss at the convention center. The Modernism Show features vendors nationally and internationally. They will be displaying vintage furniture, decorative and fine arts. You'll get to see things through the 20th century as well as the 21st century. You will get to go to lecture series around interior design, around the future of design. There are a ton of things that not only can you look at to get some new ideas, there are just a lot of vendors and dealers that you can actually buy from directly at the show, which is why it's one of those things that you absolutely want to go to, because as many homes as you tour, you ooh and ah, when you go to the Modernism Show, you get to take some things home with you at the same time. So I'm really excited to dig into this conversation with Lisa. This is actually the 24th year of the Modernism Show, and I really wanted to get her perspective. How did it even start in the first place? How has it grown? And we are going to dig right into that conversation. Here we go. How did you get started in producing with antiques and design shows? Where did this all start for you?
When I was in my 20s, I had just gotten married, and my older sister was working for a gentleman by the name of Marty Ellis, and he was a producer of very high-end antique shows, and she wanted to leave and go. She had found another profession she wanted to get into, so I took her job, and I just went in thinking, you know what, I was between jobs, and it would be a good thing for me to do. I fell in love with it. I fell in love with art. I've always been in love with art and design and architecture and mid-century modern. But so we started working in 1981. But at that time, we had strictly just high-end antique shows across the country. Modernism hadn't really peaked as yet. Yeah. It came in the 90s, early 2000. But so I worked for years producing antique shows and art shows around the country. And then in 2001, I was invited by Jack Custin, who lives in Palm Springs and who was one of the founders of Modernism Week, to potentially bring a show out to Palm Springs.
And I will say I got my love of all mid-century modern in the early 2000s. When I was in my 20s and I got to explore interior design for the first time all over New York City. And that is when I fell in love with mid-century modern. I was like, this is what I want. I want to collect these pieces. I'm like, oh, I want to find the signature. I love the story behind these. And I think a lot of people thought it was weird in my 20s to be so in love with those types of vintage pieces, but they've always just held my heart ever since then.
Mine too. I when I originally started, there was a portion of the antique world that I loved.
Yeah.
But as soon as I was introduced to mid-century modern, that all went away. And I fell in love with it. It's just a wonderful, wonderful era. And there's so many beautiful things that come out of there. And then, like I said, the architecture and design of the 20th century can't be matched. There's no parallel in this.
None. I agree. Whatever. I see so many new things and I'm like, that's nice. It's not this other piece that I'm trying to collect. I'm like, but I like it.
Right.
So let's talk a little bit before we get more into the Modernism Show and things like that. What are some like vintage or antique pieces that you feel like you're naturally just drawn to?
Well, obviously my number one is Frank Lloyd Wright. Anything Frank Lloyd Wright did and put together was something that captivated my heart, and it's just so beautiful, and his lines and his designs are so amazing, and that would probably be my number one interest that was piqued. I fell in love with Warren Plattner as well, furniture, and that's another one of my favorites. And of course my heart is drawn to William Haynes, and that's more like that Hollywood Regency. It's just beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And all of those items are represented well in the show this year.
All right. So we will make sure to put those on our list of things to make sure to check out this year. Let's talk a little bit How did Palm Springs start to become this place that really attracted architects from all over the world?
Well, it was almost like a natural, because the backdrop of Palm Springs, the architecture and design, the mid-century modern, all of the great architects and designers already had buildings there, and it just was the perfect backdrop for a 20th century design show. It was very visible to us when we visited Palm Springs that there was a need for this. And Palm Springs, and we grew so quickly there because there was a need for it.
Yeah. And I also feel like one of the things I felt like I kept reading too was that, so many architects felt like it was a great place where they could really experiment and try out some
Yes.
things because of the location that you may not have maybe necessarily had the freedom to do in other places.
Palm Springs was tailor-made and primed for a modernism show. It had the potential. It was the to be a pilgrimage for modern enthusiasts. I mean, they could take in a show while enjoying the beauty of the city and the world-class architecture that Palm Springs has to offer. And over the years, honestly, Palm Springs has become the Mecca for modernism. It really has.
So let's talk a little bit. What did the first modernism show look like?
That was a long time ago. 2001 was our debut, and we came in with the show, I think, boasted 40 dealers, and at that time it was strictly vintage 20th century. We've kind of opened the show up a little bit moving forward, but we can get to that later. But it was strictly high-end vintage 20th century, about 40 exhibitors. We worked with the Palm Springs Preservation Foundation as the beneficiary of the opening night, and about 1,500 people attended over the 2.5 days of the show. At that time, it was 2.5 days, and we could see that it worked. It like clicked, and we knew we had something there. And then over the years, it grew a little bit more each year, a little bit more each year, and then all of a sudden, people started noticing our little design show in the desert, our mod little modern design show in the desert, and that's when things really started to click.
And let's talk a little bit too about what that growth, because now it's actually twice a year. Like, when did you guys notice, like, gosh, it's not even working to do once a year?
Well, modernism in 2001 was the first show, but in 2006, Modernism Week was formed. And Modernism Week was a culmination of the Palm Springs Preservation Foundation, the Palm Springs Architecture and Design Council at the museum, the Palm Springs Modern Committee. They all came together and they formed a banner under Modernism Week. And things started to grow. They started doing outside events, and then the show grew exponentially year after year after year, and the meter still ticks up on that show in two areas: in participation by dealers and attendance. We have 130 exhibitors this year. That's the largest show we've ever put on, and that was in the February show. So based on the success of the February show, Modernism Week came to me, and we talked a little bit about they wanted to start a fall event to bring more awareness to what we were doing in February. So it was a small we did they just it was a smaller they have about 30 to 50 outside events, whereas in February they have over 300. And we kept the show at 45 to 50 dealers, and what it does is it allows the press and modern enthusiasts to come and get a little taste of
I
what's to come,
see.
so that if we bring the Modernism Week does bring a lot of press and they entertain them, so that they're writing in the fall shows in October, in November, December, and January, they're writing about what's coming in
I
February. And
see.
it brought so much awareness. And based on the success of the fall event, introducing everything that we do in more reintroducing what we do in February to a wider audience, that's when February really exploded.
I think what's so interesting too is like I've attended a lot of, home design shows, but I feel like what was so special about Modernism Week is that it almost felt like you're experiencing everything because you're
Well, you
going to the
are.
show, but you're getting the whole lifestyle experience at the same time.
Right. Although the show has always been considered the centerpiece of Modernism Week, but it's a big piece of Modernism Week, and it is. But let me tell you, Modernism Week, holy smokes, what they do. They have the lectures and the home tours and the architectural bus tours. They do. I mean, if you're interested, if you have any interest at all in the 20th century, you want to spend 10 days in Palm Springs in February for Modernism Week, because it's interesting. It was referred to by one member of the E Street Band that was there. He came up to me, says, "This is like the Woodstock of modernism." He said, "It is so interesting to do this." And he said, "And there's if you can't find it, if you can't find interest or something that you're looking for in February, it's not out there."
No, and I think that's true too. Like, I think there's something about the event that it's educational, but it's also like super cool and fun at the same time. Like, I feel like I had when I came before, I had my bike and I had all my little books and I was picking up things and I was going to the museum and I was parking my bike and I was going back and forth between the show. And I think there's something that's really nice about the environment, the temperature that you can kind of easily move around and see things so clearly of like, okay, I went to the museum, I did some research. Now I can actually go visit that house right away. Things are actually close enough, which I think like other places, it doesn't lend themselves to that
No,
type
and
of
it gives
environment.
you an opportunity to experience so many beautiful homes that were like, for example, one of my favorite homes is the Frank Sinatra House, and that's always really a very sought after ticket. It's one of the first things that sells out during Modernism Week. And I mean, you see the home that he lived in with Ava Gardner, and I've been to it several times, and it's amazing to be there and see. And you think about music recordings now, literally his music studio was a reel-to-reel tape sitting at a desk, and you sit there, and I bet he probably wrote and made so many songs there. It was crazy. But just anyhow, I mean, there are so many homes that I've been in, I too many to name, but that is Frank Sinatra's home has always been my favorite.
So if you're feeling like you have a little bit of cabin fever like I do, I want to remind you that Modernism Week runs February 15th, which is today, through the 25th. If you want to get tickets for the big event, go to modernismweek.com. It is in Palm Springs, California, where right now it is clear skies, 70s, and because it's the desert, there is absolutely no humidity. And if you're going, Angela, you are crazy. I don't have time to take a quick trip across the country. Then I say, follow along on social media. There are two different ways I will be showing you guys some really fun behind the scenes of what's going on at the event at underscore Angela Bell. You can also follow along with the main social media account at modernism underscore week and join along with all of the fun. But again, I want to encourage you, it is a long holiday weekend and this runs two weekends in a row. So modernismweek.com, get your tickets and get immersed in all things mid-century modern, learning about sustainable design. And again, it's one of those great trips where you can also sit poolside, enjoying a margarita and relaxing at the same time. All right, now back to the interview. So let's talk about what were maybe some of the uphill battles when all of this really started with the modernism show to really convince people that Palm Springs was this perfect place for design and art show.
It was kind of easy to convince based on the success of the dealers that were in the show. And literally when we started, it was Southern California, maybe West Coast, like Arizona, Colorado, dealers like that. But based on their successes, it grew. And now not only do dealers come from across the country, there's international. We have dealers that come from Italy, Germany. It's crazy. It was e this I don't want to say it was easy, but based on being where we were and what we saw and everything that came together and the help that Modernism Week gave the show when it started growing, it made it very simple. And many deal several deal not many several dealers that I'm very good friends with who had galleries on the East Coast or in Florida, based on their successes in Palm Springs and what they saw, they moved, sold, that closed their galleries, moved to Palm Springs, and now part of the renaissance of Palm Springs is all the growth on Palm Canyon, and they have galleries out there now. They've relocated, and several are very, very successful, and they absolutely love living. Who wouldn't love living in Palm Springs?
I mean, I'm telling you, I'm in Connecticut. I already have my suitcase ready and it's a week away. Like,
Yep.
I am done with
I'm
this
leaving
30
tomorrow.
degree
Well, I
weather.
leave tomorrow. We have a it's a big setup for the show, so I'm leaving tomorrow. I can't wait.
Like, I cannot wait to be in the warm weather. There's no humidity. I just want to take it
Nope.
all in. I want to get my bike. I don't need my car. I'm sick of driving.
And
Like,
you
it's.
can bike everywhere, literally. I mean, depending on where you stay, you can bike everywhere. I mean, Palm Canyon literally is, there's no reason to go any further than downtown Palm Springs right now. It has so much to offer. And it didn't always have that much. I mean, the Renaissance of Palm Springs is amazing and how it's grown over the last 10 to 15 years. The hotels and the storefronts and the galleries, it's amazing.
So let's talk a little bit too about with the modernism show. How do you feel like things are evolving with climate change and how people
Well,
are talking about things?
I think that the big issue with in Palm Springs with climate change is obviously you're in the desert.
Yeah.
And I actually recently was just reading about this, and the summers in Palm Springs are going to start getting hot. They're getting hotter and hotter, which is why we keep our shows in February and October, because I've been out there in the summer and it's pretty hot. But it doesn't really, climate change doesn't really affect the show or the Modernism Week itself, other than obviously if it rains, and there has been more rain in the desert in Palm Springs than I've seen in years, and the temperature has changed. I mean, 5, 10 years ago, it was always in the 80s when I was out there in February. Now you're lucky if you're in the 70s, which believe me is beautiful. I mean, I'm not complaining, but I think the emissions of, I mean, everybody, the cars and the flights in and out, and I mean, now they're expanding the airport, which is a good thing. But you know, there are climate change activists that think that that's probably not a good idea. But it had to happen because that airport was small in itself. But again, like I said, I don't really think climate change has much to do with what's going on at the show or at Modernism Week.
Okay. And what can we really expect from the Modernism show? What's something different? I know that you're saying you're going to have the most vendors you've ever had. What else can we expect from the show this year?
Well, we have a new presenting sponsor, First Wave Development, which is bringing a modular front facade showstopper prefab home. And what they're doing is they are going after the missing middle for home buyers. And they're literally bringing a home. They're going to park it right at the entrance to the show. And it's literally self-sustaining. It's got everything it needs, and the panels on the home are set so that it stands up to, you know, with all the California wildfires and all of that. But they're it's and the way they designed it is it's designed after Palm Springs. It's kind of got a Palm Springs theme in the design of the home itself. And there's a lot of people that can't afford to come to Palm Springs and buy a home. I mean, if I was smart, I would have bought one 15 or 20 years ago. But now it's a little, it offers, it gives the missing middle a chance to possibly buy a home and live in a beautiful home in Palm Springs. We've also put together a really great lecture series at the show this year, which we've had in the past, but the presenting sponsor is giving they're giving the keynote lecture on Saturday at noon. And it's literally architecture for the missing middle, and that's what they're talking about. That they can we afford a house like our grandparents had? No, we can't. So what kind of house would we be able to live in, and could we afford? So they're going to talk about that. And then we have three dealers in the show. One is Scott Burrows of Art of Scooter, and he does Disney art, and he's going to be showing some of his Disney art and talking about that. Then we have a wonderful exhibitor from Lancaster, Ohio, Gay Fad Studios. They produce mid-century modern inspired cocktail wear. And Palm Springs cocktails, it's like soup and salad. So they have this amazing glassware, and it's going to be cocktails with Gay Fad Studio, and they're going to show all their glassware and tell the story of Gay Fad Studios, which is a really interesting story of how they acquired it. And then Barbara Bosavane is going to give a lecture about and book signing, and she does aerial shots, and she wrote a book, Salt of the Earth, it's a monograph that captures humanity's impact on the environment. So these four lectures are included with show admission. You've got the prefab home out in front. And then we have in the lobby for the first time, we have a vintage piano collection coming. Ooh. And they're coming from Northern California, and they have mid-century modern pianos. And some of them, they've submitted photos of them to me. They're amazing, like pianos you've never seen before. And then we're going to have a pianist in the lobby playing the whole time.
Why not, right? You've got to set the mood.
Exactly. And then, I mean, I can't brag enough about the lineup of exhibitors that we have. We have some new exhibitors. Probably 75% of the show is renewed exhibitors that come back, but I always want to introduce new so that, you know, it gives it a little bit, change your store window, don't ever keep it the same. Right. But we have some great vintage 20th century dealers that haven't done the show before. And about 4 years ago, we opened the show. It used to be strictly vintage 20th century, but we opened it up to compelling 21st century designs. It's evolved, it's time, and there's a marriage. People have vintage 20th century, and then they also mix it with 21st century. And it's nothing is a reissue or a restrike. It's independent design based on the mid-century modern theme.
Yeah, which I agree. There is always really a marriage between the vintage and then.
There is. You can't. New. I mean, back in the day, antiques, you had antiques or you didn't. You could never bring something new in with an antique. But vintage 20th century, it's wide open. Wow. And it gives you the opportunity to really have a beautiful 20th century item right next to something that was created in the 21st century that marries well with it. And the marriage between the 21st century with the 20th century dealers in the show was really a success. It was a hit. It was an experiment when we tried it, but it was a good marriage. It was one that worked.
I'm excited to yep. see all of it. Well, yep. Rosemary, that is our interview. For okay. listeners, what's the best way for people to get tickets for the Modernism show?
The show is open Saturday from 10 to 6, Sunday from 10 to 5, and Monday from 10 to 4. And again, it's at the Palm Springs Convention Center, and visit palmspringsmodernism.com to get any information you need.
Well, I hope you really enjoyed that show. And again, if you're going to be in the area, you're thinking about making the road trip, you definitely want to get to Palm Springs, California by tomorrow night. There is a preview party for the Palm Springs Modernism Show. You can also get first dibs on some of those pieces that a lot of us might be eyeing throughout the weekend. You'll have first grabs at them at this show. The show will run again this Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. It is going to be at the Convention Center. And again, I just always remind people what I love so much about it is that you tour these beautiful homes, you get to go to these lecture series, you're very inspired. The show is one of those great places where you can actually take things home with you and go, God, I love that piece of art, or I really wanted that chair. I've been looking for this credenza. Like, there are vendors there that will sell those items to you. And that's what makes it so great, because it's more than just looking. You can actually take it home with you as well. So I want to thank everybody again for listening, taking in the show. I reminded you, there's more than one way to enjoy the event. We have, I'll be doing some social media about the event at the @_AngelaBelt. And you can also go follow along at @Modernism_Week. And there will be plenty of things going on for the event. But I encourage you guys, if you're thinking about it, you're having some winter blues, this is a trip worth taking. And it runs the 15th through the 25th of February. All right. On that note, take care. And remember to give yourself a much needed break. All right. Bye-bye.